Today, the name of my message is Open the Vault. And what I'm going to be speaking from is Paul writing in Ephesians. You know, we are doing this since our home group, and you know, the verses this week really touched me. And Paul writes in him, "You also are being built together into a dwelling place for God by the Spirit. For this reason, I bow my knees before the Father, from whom every family in heaven and on earth is named, that according to the riches of his glory, he may grant you to be strengthened with power through his Spirit in your inner being, so that Christ may dwell in your hearts through faith, that you, being rooted and grounded in love, may have strength to comprehend with all the saints what is the breadth and length and height and depth, and to know the love of Christ that surpasses knowledge, that you may be filled with all the fullness of God. Now, to him who is able to do far more abundantly than all that we ask or think, according to the power at work within us, to him be glory in the church and in Christ Jesus throughout all generations, forever and ever. Amen. Lord God, it's easy for me to stand up here and to say, the same Spirit that raised Jesus Christ from the dead lives in believers. But that's true. We need to learn to lay ourselves aside and to trust you. To know that what you call us to do, you equip us to do, and you empower us to do. I know there's hesitations. I know that the enemy likes to remind us of our failures and weaknesses. But when we're weak, Lord, you're strong. I pray that today would be a day of encouragement, just as Paul is encouraging and praying for the Ephesians. We would allow you to move in us, O Lord. In your name we do pray. Amen. J.J. Redick is the new coach of the Los Angeles Lakers basketball team. So this summer, he got the team together for a dinner meeting at this restaurant. They had a private room, and what he did was he had videos of all the players that were in attendance. And he made highlights of some of the good plays they had made the previous year. And when he got all done, he opened up the room and said, "You guys have told on yourselves. These videos show me what you are capable of. Now I'm going to push you so that you play at that level and even more." A good leader doesn't let you stay where you're at, but he pushes you beyond your comfort zone. The King of Kings and the Lord of Lords, Jesus, is saying to us through Paul, you know what? You have the Holy Spirit. It's time to believe. It's time to achieve. It's time to move forward. You know, this summer we did some teachings on gifts of the Spirit, et cetera, et cetera. And today I'm not going to be talking about the grandiose, but I'm talking about the everyday life where God wants us to engage with him, because we have to be all in. We have to stop being comfortable with status quo and being comfortable with fitting Jesus into my life. I like what I read in the commentary recently. It is not Christ in me. It's me in Christ. I want to jump all in where everything I do is for his glory. You know, in these verses, Paul, I love that he prays for the Ephesians. He's encouraging them to tap into God, to trust the Holy Spirit, and to walk in God's strength and in God's power. One of the biggest obstacles we face is we don't allow God to define who we are. We define ourselves through our past, through our weaknesses. I'm going to talk about it later in Corinthians. God chose the foolish things of the world. Why? Because he gets the glory. He doesn't choose the people that do things and say, hey, look at me. And far too often the Christian world gets caught up in that. So today I'm talking about residing in Jesus. An example of how to position yourself before God. I love how in verse 14 Paul says, for this reason I bow my knees. He's talking to the Ephesian church. He's saying, I got arthritis in mind, so I'm not going to demonstrate. I'm gonna bow. I'm going to humble myself. Now, prayer isn't you have to kneel. You have to lay prostrate. You know, I'm going to tell you how cool God is. When I was in Copenhagen, we had a church split, and it got ugly. Well, I had this young man named Mark Southcott. And he came to my church, and he was going to the church in Adams Center, and he goes, Pastor, I got to apologize. God told me to come here a year ago because I knew him from Oswego. But he came at the right time. He came because of a relationship with me, and people were wondering about stuff. So one of the first meetings, Mark comes up, and he's a tall kid, and he just lays down in front of the altar during worship. And we had a very quiet, conservative church. And that was so cool. It wasn't about what do people think of me. It's about God, you are my everything. Let me ask you, what would you do in worship? God said, I want you to come lay prostrate. He did that to me when I was first here, probably 13 years ago. I'm not a dancer. And I felt like we had this moving song, and at the time, things were kind of down. God said, I want you to start dancing. I said, God, when I move, I jiggle. So unless you really do a transformation, this boy ain't moving. Well, you know, it don't work to say no to God. So I'm jumping up and down and say, God, you owe me. And they said, yeah, paid already. So anyways, what am I saying? Paul is saying, I humbly bow my knees because I want you guys to tap into all I have for you. A couple weeks ago, Joe Melita, what did he say? And I mentioned it earlier. We need to pray, Lord, where do I have pride? Because if you're breathing, you have pride. That is the biggest obstacle with Adam and Eve, with between man and God. Why do you think it's called the pride movement? Us over God. I'm sorry. Paul depended on God to lead him every single day. He is humbly. Could you see the Roman soldier? Because Paul's in prison when he's writing this. Paul's kneeling. I'm kneeling, bowing for you guys, man. I'm praying. Right? What's up with you, dude? Paul didn't care because he was all about Jesus. Like I said, the physical posture of prayer doesn't matter. Please don't kick your feet up on the desk and sit back and be lackadaisical. But it's, you need to pray. I learned years ago, I do really good praying, standing up, walking, because if I kneel or sit down, especially early in the morning, I'm Z-ing out, I'm sleeping, and you know, I don't want to do that. So if I go for a walk, sometimes I just come in here and I walk around the sanctuary for half an hour and hang out with God. I like what Warren Wiersbe says about this verse. Laying our hands on what God has for us, and by faith making it, is a vital part of our life. We need to embrace by faith who God has called us to be. For consider your calling, brother. Not me. Not many of you were wise, okay, according to worldly standards. But many were powerful. Not many were of noble birth. But God chose what is foolish in the world to shame the wise. God chose what is weak in the world to shame the strong. You know what? We can turn the, well, if you can't, if you want, you can turn that thing off. Anyways, what is God saying? I'll be a fool for you, Jesus. And we're doing that to highlight it. Don't you love that? You know, sometimes people rebuke me for saying this. I want people to look at me as a pastor and say, if he can use you, he can use anybody, because it's all God. And God wants the church still, man, I'm calling you. I'm calling you to go forward. We need to humbly surrender to God. And again, I'm not talking about grandiose things. Maybe it is, but I'm just talking about when God puts somebody on your heart, go pray for them. When you're home and all of a sudden you wake up in the middle of the night and you can't sleep, and the older you get, the more that happens. Those of you who are young, you got stuff to look forward to. And God puts somebody on your heart, pray for them. Do you know how many times I've heard testimonies where people had something happen in the middle of the night and they find out at that exact time somebody was awake praying for them? So maybe God is asking you, even during church, hey, I'm really noticing that person over there. Go talk to him. What is God asking you to do? These verses aren't about knowing God. These verses are about being in God. And it can't be a part-time thing. It can't be now and then. I'm talking about God confidence over self-confidence. J.J. Redick is telling his team, I know what you can do. I'm going to hold you to that standard. God is saying to us, I know what you can do in him. I'm going to hold you to that standard. The next point I'm going to make is unleashed. I met with a friend Friday, and God's calling him to some things, and he's really being challenged because he has to use his faith. Now, I like faith when I know what God's going to do. I think that's an amazing display of faith, but I find for some reason God, his idea of faith was that working the whole time and only that was blinking? Anyways, if you can't laugh at yourself, you miss a lot of good jokes. Anyways, so I had to tell him to trust God one step at a time. I've had so many people the last couple weeks say to me, if I knew, well, God didn't tell you because you would have run the other way when you first came to a relationship with him. My gosh, I don't know what I would have done. Mel says to me, I wasn't called to be a pastor's wife. I said, I wasn't looking to be a pastor. So deal with him, not me. I remember learning in second grade, Mrs. Doan. You don't know her, but we do. And in second grade, they did a personality explanation. And I knew who I was. And according to Mrs. Doan's second grade personality test, there is no way I should be here right now. Because my personality test did not line up to this. I waged an internal war for years about answering my call. You know, I when I was working at the nuclear plant, I prayed, Lord, give me a job behind the scenes. I never want to be in front of people, just like being bookwork and stuff for the church. I did that for a couple years, and God had a different opinion. And it hurt like the dickens to answer that. But it hurt even more to say no to God in the spiritual turmoil I went through. So I learned, I want to encourage you, you need to look up and you need to step out. When God's telling you to share with that person your faith, you don't have to know the Romans road. Just say, man, Jesus works. Or just say something corny like, hey, you better answer the door, man, because God's knocking right now on your door. And I tell people, just do it now because he ain't going to stop. Now, maybe they tell me to be quiet, but that's okay. I've been told to be quiet for a lot worse reasons than that. Let God define you. Look at David. His brothers thought he was a sniveling little twerp. What are you doing coming here? I'm about to kick that big giant's backside. David let God define who he is rather than his family, rather than his friends. So we have to say, God, this is, and too many people, you've allowed other people like Mrs. Doan maybe to define who you are when God says, that's not who I'm telling you you are. And God is saying to this church today, it's time to receive. I remember I'm early on pastoring the Copenhagen church, and I called a worship team meeting, and I'm talking about mature Christians. And I said to him, God's going to do mighty things in this village. It saddened me to see the looks of doubt. Because at the time, Copenhagen, New York was the armpit of upstate New York. See, God's greater. He's greater than the definition of Copenhagen. He's doing things there. He's doing things here. So we have to let God tell us who we are. You know, verse 16 says that according to the riches of his glory, he may grant you to be strengthened with power through his spirit in your inner being. It's not about us. We need to believe that God has called us. We need to believe that he's given each and every one of us a gift, that we got to receive his power by the Holy Spirit, and we need to trust him. When I go and God tells me to share with somebody, I know the Holy Spirit has gone before me. Now, they may not say yes at that moment, but I know I'm sowing the seed, and we need to achieve what God has for us. But it doesn't work by sitting on the sideline. It doesn't work by feeling bad for yourself. It doesn't work by letting other people define you and say, well, I know God can use them, but how about me? Yes, and I want to talk to the young people. Step up. I don't care if you're 10 years old. If God puts somebody on your heart, say, man, can I just pray for you, Lord, bless her, and walk away. There's not a certain age when God uses people. I think the older you get, sometimes the more self-conscious you get. So I'm giving you young people, you feel like, man, I want to pray for somebody. Okay, will you make mistakes? Of course, you're a human being, we all do. But we need to step out and believe that God wants us to be a part of this family. You know, verse 17 says, so that Christ may dwell in your hearts through faith, that you being rooted and grounded in love. Man, God dwells in us. I like how it says dwell. I need to dwell in God. I need to stay there. I need to take root. I need to commit to being all in. I need to just bask in God. I know that sounds spiritual. I need to pray, and I need to learn how to hang out with God. Sometimes I read and I pray, and then if it's quiet, I go to work after my wife, I just sit there, say, Lord, man, let's just hang out together. Somebody mentioned it today. I think Mel put it up. I'm in the picture. Me and my grandson are watching a couple months ago something called, I think it's Blimpy or Blippy or something. It's a kid's show. And he just put his hand on my head. Now, he wasn't probably praying for salvation, but he just wanted to touch me. That's hanging out. That's hanging out with God. God, I just want to be with you. You don't have to talk. Maybe put some quiet Christian music in the background. I do that and just hang out and let the Holy Spirit say, hey, let's just be friends. Let's just be friends. Sometimes after, you know, dinner at night, after we play our best out of three Yahtzee matches, sometimes we just hang out and listen to music and just enjoy each other's company, Mel and I. See, that's what God wants. God just wants you to know how much he loves you. And it doesn't have to be a specific prayer. Just to dwell in God, be rooted, meaning let the Bible be your standard for how you live your life. The world is going to increasingly tell you it's wrong, that it's passe and out of date. I have never understood that. Since God lives outside of time, how could he be out of date? And I would dare you to show me any what I would call sin, or we can say new movement in our society, that I can't take you back thousands of years and show you it's happened. There's nothing new under the sun. So we have to be rooted and grounded in Jesus, and it doesn't happen just coming to church once a week and maybe small group. You know, I remember years ago when I first went to the other church, that this one woman was in home group, said, do you read the Bible? I said, no, I just listen to the pastor. Oh my goodness, how weak are you going to be if you're going to rely on me to grow you in Jesus Christ? So the next week, that's exactly what I spoke on. And I lovingly rebuked her. She didn't know it. You got to know the word. I'm never going to try to lead anybody astray, but you just can't take what I say or anybody up here. You have to know the word and make sure that it's right. We need to commit to being all in. J.J. Redick was telling the Lakers, you got to be all in. How you eat matters to being a professional athlete. How much sleep you get matters to being a professional athlete. You have to study film like we need to study the Bible. You need to take care of yourself. That's what God's saying to us. Well, I mean, if the players just showed up to the games three times a week, they probably wouldn't be that good. God is saying, I need you to be all in. Deeper steps. I love those guys. They put up with me. Receive the fullness of Christ. Take steps and make room. He's calling all of you. Paul's encouragement for the believers, unlock the vastness of God. Practically, this means a devoted relationship with Jesus. I have seen God move when people go and pray for somebody and a healing occurs. Or a word aptly spoken is, you never know what God is going to do. I've used this example before, but we have this woman in our church. She came and she just said this to a visitor, God bless you, man. He loves you. I'm so glad you're here. It changed her life because she was in a dark place. And just to have one person faithfully reach out as God told them to do. So when God asks you to move, do it. Remember Colleen Gui was a part of our church years ago. She worked at Kinney's Drugs, and God said, and I've shared this recently, make lasagna for your co-worker's family. So she did. And she showed up at, don't know why, but I made you lasagna. If you feel like that at my house, don't feel bad. Just do it. Anyways, the husband had prayed, if you're real, God, have somebody bring me lasagna tonight. Come on! I'm talking about a living God, not a God of the old age that's in the Bible. I'm talking about the Holy Spirit says today something as simple as make lasagna. I know it's not simple, but you know what I'm saying. And you show up and God answers. That affects a guy eternally. Eternally. Never discount what God is asking you to do. It doesn't have to be up here. It doesn't have to be grandiose. There's times, I know I've read all the books, I know I've been taking advice from a friend of mine who used to run the rescue mission, that when you see people down and out, you never give them cash. Well, guess what? Sometimes I do. Sometimes when God says, stop, I want you to give them money, I stop and give them money. I went to a Third Day concert with my wife years ago. There's a guy begging. I said, okay, I'm going to tell you what, dude. I'm a pastor. This is between you and God. You going to use this for anything bad? No. Between you and God. I gave him quite a bit of money because God told me to, and I'm not breaking on myself. But this is between you and God. I'm doing this because the Lord told me to. You messing with God if you use this wrong. So what I'm saying is, I let God direct me. I want to have ears to hear. Jesus said, he who has ears to hear. I wish it always made sense. I wish I would always look cool when I was obeying God. Now, me and cool don't go together, but I like to try sometimes. Sometimes I look like a darn fool. And I think God's up there with Moses laughing, saying, hey, look what we're doing to him. But I do that because I want God to humble me. And to know the love of Christ that surpasses knowledge. Lord, I pray that for their Hindelarda family right now. In the darkest moments of life, you love us. And to know, and some of you, God is speaking this to you because you have doubts about how much God loves you. And God just wants you to know he loves you. And it says, and to know the love of Christ that surpasses knowledge, that you may be filled with the fullness of God. Now to him who is able to do far more abundantly than all we ask or think, according to the power at work within us, to him be glory in the church and in Christ Jesus through all generations. Amen and amen and amen. I've had to learn not to let my insecurities define who I am. I've had to learn to attempt to take a deep breath and to go forward, because God says, I'm bigger than that. And I have to trust him in that. See, I can't understand how much God loves us. Sometimes I don't even like me, but God loves me. And there's nothing I can do that makes him love me any less. Yes, sometimes I need to repent and move forward, but man, God loves us. And God has a purpose for everyone. Yes, today's my birthday. Taney and Janet Beaumont did not plan the best of their three children. I was an oops baby. If you're old enough to know what I mean, the rabbit didn't die. They used to take mother's stuff, get the rabbit goes room temperature, then you're pregnant. My rabbit didn't die. I wasn't an oops in the eyes of Jesus Christ. God had a plan for me. God has a plan for you. I shared this last week. Man, I love this verse. For I know the plans I have for you, dear, declares the Lord. He's talking to every one of you, by the way. Plans to prosper you and not to harm you. Plans to give you a hope and a future. New covenant, it's time to go deeper. Some of you know you're being challenged right now. That's God, because he wants to challenge you. God wants us to trust him with ourselves and with our lives. If we look at the summary, an application, I used the last word because I stole that from Joe because I really liked it. Humility is key. Paul humbly bowed in prison to pray for the church. Paul, such a knowledgeable, rich, and powerful man, humbled his life for Jesus. By faith, we walk out what God directs you to do. You may be talking to somebody, maybe praying. I don't know what it means, but just don't hesitate. When God tells you to go, go. Christ in us means us in Christ. You know, I was listening to this podcast, and these guys talk about the Bible, and someone said, yeah, I was reading a verse in Proverbs, and I thought, huh. So I just read the whole book of Proverbs, and I thought, how cool is that? How many times have we just read one verse in Proverbs? Huh, just went through the whole book. I thought, Lord, make me like that. Believers have God's strength. We need to look up and step up. Faith accepts God's definition of us. I am so glad David did not take his family's definition. I am so glad you're not going to take the world's definition of you. In fact, the mistakes you made in your past life, they are history. They are gone. Don't relive them. You can't change them. God is saying, we got a brand new day, church, and we're going to go forward. We're going to impact this community, because that's what I've called you to do. Pride is an enemy of God. As I said earlier, I learned insecurity is prideful. Humbly live out the power of the Lord. Would you bow your heads? New Covenant Community Church, Lord. What an awesome place. A place where Jesus reigns. A place where we come together to worship you, to learn your truth, to be encouraged, to be convicted, to be rebuked when need be. But it's all so that we grow up to become who you have called us to be. Lord, I have learned that you will put me through a lot of things to lessen the impact of Dick Bowman on my life and to increase Jesus Christ. Lord, I know that a lot of us have been hurt. we have been defined by hurtful people. And if we're honest, sometimes it is hard to shake off those definitions. When we give our lives to you, Jesus, we are children of the eternal God. Your Holy Spirit lives in us. If it raised Jesus from the dead, I'm thinking it can use us. I pray that we would have ears to hear your still small voice. That we wouldn't discount when you ask us to do something that we think may be minor. Might be just making a meal for somebody that impacts their eternity. Or maybe just making a greeting to somebody we don't know, Lord. Let us grow comfortable being uncomfortable. That challenges me. It stretches me. But it makes me depend on you because it brings me to the end of myself. Let us trust you, Lord. As Paul prayed for the Ephesian believers and encouraged them in their relationship and who they are in you, let us take hold of that, Lord. And I pray if there's anybody in this room, Lord, where they have not made that commitment to you, Jesus, that today is the day of their salvation, because we are not promised tomorrow. Far too often I talk to people and they say, well, I'm not ready yet. Well, you know what, Lord? There may not be much of a future. And if there's anybody here that just isn't ready, I pray, Lord, that they would humbly go to you and say, Jesus, if you are the way, the truth, and the life, as you say, that nobody can go to heaven outside of relationship with you, then show me. And if you pray that humbly and you have ears to hear and eyes to see, God will indeed show you the truth of Jesus Christ. He never doesn't answer that prayer, in my humble opinion. But I pray today we would say yes to you, Lord, that we will impact this community with the living God. Father, I thank you for this church. I thank you that you have placed us in Oswego. I thank you that you have placed us in New York, Lord God, to be a light in the darkness. Let us walk in your truth. Just as J.J. Redick is pushing those Laker players, Lord, you are guiding us to believe you in us and what you've called us to do, Lord God, to step beyond what we think we can do and to allow the miraculous come from us by your Holy Spirit. And by miraculous, Lord, I mean things that we can't accomplish on our own. Be glorified, Jesus. In your name we pray. Amen. Amen. Have a great day and be blessed.